The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals, whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation. Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Well, hello, witches and beautiful souls. How are you doing? How the devil are you? This is Swales, the Friendly Green Witch of the Bale Witch Podcast. We are on episode 14. Can you believe it? Hey, 14. And this is another Moot Loot. My lovely guest is here and I do an official interview, which is the first time as well, another first. Such a cool little interview and it gets quite funny towards the end, so it's worth hanging on for that. And there's a few of those Easter eggs and exclusives. Who heard it here first? So if you're interested in Pagans of the North magazine, do watch out for those exclusive announcements. It's a really good interview, if I do say so myself, with the creative director and organizer and editor and busy witch Quinn, who runs this fantastic online community-based magazine about paganism, magic, witchcraft and all that jazz. And recently I joined the team, and the one that's just come out, I've got a written column in it about witching with kids. Worth a look if you want to have a gander and see what you think. Since last episode, I've been OD'd on this podcast. Beverly Thornton from episode 10, you remember the pagan photographer, recommended I listen to real life ghost stories with Emma and Dan. Oh, and they're proper down to earth and they talk really normally every day about real life ghost stories, as the title may suggest. But they've got a really good chemistry and they're really normal people. Emma's got a really nice Irish accent and obviously runs the show. And Dan, who's a partner, a life partner and friend and funny and tends to say what he thinks and probably what we're all thinking too. So that works quite well. And they just talk normally and really naturally about ghost stories. It's really funny. And I'm on episode 20 now. I'm absolutely loving it. So yeah, I recommend you having a little look-see at that. Since I last spoke to you, don't know if you can tell, I sound a little bit more clearer. I sound a little bit more professional. Because for my birthday, which was last week, I was gifted a posh podcast microphone, a toner it's called, and it looks proper jazzy, and hopefully you'll be able to hear the sound difference. But it's amazing the confidence it has given me just having a really nice podcasty microphone that looks the part rather than a gamer headset. But not to be turning your nose up at it, it did me a good job. It sounded all right for a good 10-12 episodes, but then I used to get annoyed with myself because you could hear me breathing, my cup hitting the microphone when I took a swig of my wine and all that. So there'll be none of that now to edit out, which is pretty cool. Oh my god, amazing. For my birthday, I had to make a decision with what I wanted to do. So it was a choice between going to Bill's in Leeds, which were offering me a free champagne for my birthday, but it didn't specify the size of the champagne. So I was like, it's probably going to be them little sort of joke champagnes you get, you know, from Mozza's, and it's like free for £6 or something. Or I could have gone to do some flotation therapy. A new business that's opened in my side of Leeds called Recovery Float. And I was swung over because they were really active on social media and the business owner was really friendly and responded quickly. I was impressed with my direct message asking for a discount on my birthday. I'm just really open to conversations about different ways of life, different beliefs. The place itself was clean and tidy and uncluttered, smelt beautiful when I walked in. All these things, you know, a big deal for me. I like the details. I was really excited about it, and I was, because I remember the last time I did it, I was pregnant with my second born in 2018, and it was a really beautiful experience. I could feel her, I could lay down and relax on my back, which you're not allowed to do on dry land when you're up the duff, and I could really connect with it. It was beautiful. It was really, a really nice experience, and so I had high hopes. And so when I got there, it was nice, chill place. I could have a brew, have a drink of water. Then you've got to go downstairs. The tank is underground, which is an instant winner because you get more silence there than you would if the tank was on ground level. You hear passerby and stuff, which I remember from the last tank I did. The tank itself is massive. It's like a big white spaceship filled with less than a foot of water. Filled with salt that makes you really buoyant, like Epsom salts, lights, and it's lovely and warm. It's body temperature, so you get a shower, so you're nice and warm. You get in, preferably naked, so you don't feel anything on your body. And then you lay down and turn the lights off and trust the water to carry you, and then go on a jolly little meditation. I think the last one, I got into it quite quickly, whereas this one took a bit of time. The first one I did, which was in 2018, I recall there were a lot about drifting in space and seeing colours. And I think at one point my teeth felt really shiny and they became jewels and crystals in my mouth. And they were like reflecting all over the space that I was apparently floating in. But this one seemed a very different meditation to that one. Now this one, it took me a long time to get into the meditation. I was, you know, when you go to bed and you're excited to go to sleep and that just keeps you awake all night because you just can't wait to fall asleep, and then by default you don't fall asleep. It was a bit like that. So I laid there for what seemed like quite a while in the dark. I could hear my heartbeat beating so loud. And then you get little itches and stuff and you've got to try and ignore them. So I was focusing on my breath. And I think there were one point where I had to go, am I wearing pants? Am I wearing trousers? It feels like I've got trousers on my body. And I think that's your mind, you know, trying to find something that's normal, that's everyday. So it's making it up, basically. But yeah, I was completely naked. There was no trousers on my body at that time. My mind was quite busy and I was trying to quiet it by just focusing on breath. And I find you've made it when your thoughts turn from words to images. That is my official signpost into my meditation that I've made it. And when this happened, it was all about my heart. So I could see my heart in my mind's eye really clear and massive and realistic, you know, like pipes and veins running through it and not very pretty, you know, quite an ugly looking heart. And it was turning green. It was like a vibrant green, which of course is the heart chakra. And then as I look more closely, there were these three swords piercing it, like mini little swords in the heart, like your tarot card, Three of Swords. As I watched this heart in my head, there were eyes all around me, so I could see lots of eyes looking at me, looking at the heart, which sounds kind of creepy, but it wasn't really. And then I realised I had a really big old hag eye on my third eye chakra, and it was so like wrinkled and detailed, and it had long like donkey eyelashes. It was a bit like Mother Willow's eye, you know, from Disney, or Mother Shipton or something. It was really, really old. It was beautiful in its own way. And then this eye that was in my head that I developed opened really slowly. and looked at this heart. And as it looked at the heart, the swords slowly started to slide out of the heart. And as they did so, they instantly healed. And then I think there were some lights and stuff. It's weird because when you're in the tank, I didn't feel like I was that deep. The beautiful thing about this place, Recovery Float, is unlike a lot of the similar businesses, it had a reflective space afterwards so that it didn't rush you out. You could sit and I had a green tea, unwind a bit and think about what just happened to you. Because when you get out of the tank, I was a bit wobbly. I needed somewhere to sit down, and then you've got to have a shower to get all the salts off you, get dressed. And then thank God I could just sit my bum on this sofa for 30 minutes. And I had my poetry book, so I did a bit of writing in it, and all this came out. And then on reflection, it was obviously quite a deep meditation. And it said a lot to me. I mean, it spoke to me personally about grieving and letting go of stuff and having the ability to trust the universe and my own intuition and heal myself from within. That's what I read from it. I were also trying to connect with spirit guides and the Reiki horse, and they were very reluctant to get involved. They were just hanging around the background like, nah mate, I am not getting involved, this is all you, which at the time was a bit like, for God's sake, this is a fantastic opportunity, people. Come on, get on board. But they were like, nah. Anyway, the rest of the day is just kind of a bit blurry because you're tired. It makes you tired. You're meant to go home and sleep well. And I did go home and sleep well afterwards. Had a few errands to run. And I did some Instagram stories about it, which you may have seen. And it's probably very similar to this recording. But I absolutely highly recommend it, and I'm definitely going to go back. In fact, I'm desperate to go back. I want to do it every week, really. Finances say no, but if I had all the money or a money tree, I would definitely do it at least every month because it is just so good for my body and soul, honestly. Yes, I do recommend you check it out if that's an unusual thing you want to try. We were having a conversation about it afterwards, and I was telling him I did actually get a bit teary on reflection, and he was asking why, and I told him all this. Definitely go there. Apparently, it's the closest thing you can get to a mushroom trance without actually having mushrooms. That's what he said, and I've never done that, so I've never done the whole mushroom thing. And I probably never will, because I'm just so much of a control freak. I don't really like being drunk. No judgment, though. You do you. Grand old age of 38 now. Woo, 38. We're nearly at the end of September. You know what that means, which is October is coming up on us. This October is exciting because, yes, there is a Friday the 13th. And I feel like I should record something special for Friday the 13th and also Samhain. Not Samhain, but Samhain. Easy mistake to do, unknowingly, as a dyslexic person. I was going around saying Samhain for quite a long time, but at least I could spell it right. Please forgive me. You only know what you can know, right? You don't know everything. Right at the beginning of getting your witch on, you're learning. Learning's a process, and you learn from your mistake. Sorry, I went on a bit of a ramble there, didn't I? Get back to, Friday the 13th. And so me and my friend and tutor Louise the Wiccan lady and another good friend Lily Rivers, hi Lily, she'll be listening, we are gonna get together and do a bit of a knees up in the living room with some wine and talk about spooky season and things that go bump in the night and maybe some magic and whatever you want to ask a witch. Basically, if you have got any questions you want us to answer, what would you like to ask us? Slide into my DMs on Instagram, The Bellwitch Podcast, separated by underscores. Or you can email me at Yahoo. That's The Bellwitch Podcast at yahoo.com. And let us know what you'd like us to talk about. It's like Ask a Witch. Ask a Witch. If you're liking this podcast, please give me a few stars, would you? Would you give me a review on Apple Podcasts? At the moment, I've got 18 stars. On the old Spotify. It'd be lovely if I could make it up to, I don't know, 25 by Samhain. And I'd like to break 50 by the end of the year. That'd be so cool. I think I've got 10 reviews, ratings on the Apple Podcasts and a few reviews. But I've been getting lovely feedback, emails and DMs sent to me. And it just, I absolutely love hearing from you. I think it makes my heart sing when I get people messaging me going like, I love your podcast and I love your voice, which I find a little bit hard to believe because I'm so broad. Yeah, I love your voice and you're relaxing to hear and thank you for sharing stuff. And I absolutely treasure those interactions. So thank you very much for them. I've also created the Bell Witch Podcast group on Facebook. There's nobody in it as yet. I only set it up the other day. But if you search it, you can get in and then we can start talking about what you want to hear from me for this podcast, or just connect with me or bend my ear about something, one of your stories. I mean, we could even do the whole sharing witch stories on here. You can tell I've been largely influenced and inspired by that here amazing real life ghost stories podcast, which I've recently discovered. They are on it. I am a pod inspired. Anyway, without any further rambling from Swales, the friendly green witch, I will now start the official recording of the interview with Quinn. I hope you enjoy it. I'll see you on the other side. Hello and welcome, everybody. I am with my second Moot Loot guest. I realise I don't know anything about this guest. I've only virtually met her maybe a few weeks ago on a chat. So may I introduce to you Quinn Green, creative director of online magazine Pagans of the North. So welcome, Quinn.
Hi.
Hello. Now, do you want to tell me a bit about yourself? Because I know absolutely nothing.
Yeah, of course. I feel like I'm always stumped on this question.
What's the name? Where did you come from?
I'm Quinn. I'm from Newcastle and I'm almost 30. I've been a pagan for 14 years now, so not that long really. I have a background in art, mostly marketing, design work. I've done a bit of singing, but I don't like to talk about that. And a lot of exhibitions and just kind of creating stuff around topics such as refugees and political things like equal rights and all that kind of stuff. I spent a lot of my 20s doing that. And now I am mostly focusing on Pagans of the North. Yeah, pretty much. I enjoy doing design work and Pagans of the North is kind of that outlet for me. I like to think that communities should be brought together and sometimes they aren't. And I kind of wanted that to be a thing, especially because I started Pagans of the North during the pandemic. I felt like that we were going to be quite separated as a community and I wanted to build those connections. So that's what I did. And I thought, well, I'll do it creatively because that is what I like doing.
That's so cool. I was going to ask you when it started. So lockdown online magazine and people download it. Is it every sort of Sabbat when it comes out?
Yeah, so because most pagans and witches follow the Wheel of the Year, it made sense to release them following each like holiday. And so we could theme it around each holiday as well. So it made sense really.
Yours truly is actually in it this time. And I'm just so impressed by it all when it came out. I was like doing a little But Louise Bloomer, the Wiccan lady, has been saying, oh, you need to write for it. And I was a bit like, I don't know what to write and I'm dyslexic and I can't spell. And she was going, it doesn't matter, I'll proofread it. Get your ass on there, girl. Like, okay, yeah, I will. Didn't take me long.
No, I'm glad you joined, actually. I really love having a variety of people joining. I think that was one of the things that when I first started, it was just me and I was like, does anyone want to help me? Sort of thing. Thankfully, people did. And I've always said that anyone can volunteer. Anyone can be part of it. Obviously, you know, as long as you're a pagan or a witch or something, obviously, but that you can be part of us because it doesn't matter if you're dyslexic or you can't spell properly or I don't know, you need some support in some way, like, that's fine. As long as you're interested in writing something, then it's a great avenue for you to do that. And that's what I wanted anyways, so.
Yeah, we're a nice bunch as well, I thought. Pagan's a nice bunch. They can forgive you for the odd spelling mistake.
Exactly. We've got copy editors for that reason, so.
That's it. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
So you've done a fair few then. How many have you done so far?
We're on to our 29th issue, our Autumn Equinox issue. That was our 28th.
And you and the pictures and stuff, do you do all them?
I do have a background in photography, but a lot of it is royalty free images. Some of them are, not all of them, but over time, that's kind of easier outlet to do. But I always find ones that I feel like are like the right kind of fit are original cover images that were very kind of cut and paste, kind of animated. They were kind of nice, but when I rebranded the font and the covers and everything, I wanted it to be very nature focused because I felt like that's a massive part of paganism. Paganism is such a core belief in nature, worship in nature, appreciation, and all our like holidays are based around nature. So every cover image is based around nature because I think that it's very important in paganism, if that makes sense. So.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah, that's what we're all about, looking after the earth and
exactly
being aware of our inputs into the world. Yes. Which is your favourite one you've done so far?
Ooh,
oh, can I ask that? Is that like your favourite child?
From I can't remember exactly what issue it was, but when we rebranded the cover images and the font, it was like a Beltane issue, so it was all like blue bells and it just looked really pretty. But I think my favourite one is just the one that's just gone, our Autumn Equinox one, because I really like blackberries. I just thought it was such a beautiful image, and it's just, I like to find images that really represent the season.
Yeah, so it is, yeah.
That's my latest favourite.
It is, it's lovely. They look so tasty, I must say. And there's a bit of all sorts in it. There's like poetry and there's people writing stuff about pagan related topics, and there's little classifiers at the back, which is really helpful if you're looking for a certain type of witch to do a bit of magic, or you're looking for some accessories or services. It's awesome. The Bale Witch podcast is also in there.
Yes.
Are you a witch? Would you class yourself as a witch?
Yeah, so I began my journey as a Wiccan originally, which I think most people do. So I'm a big history nerd. I'm a stickler for history. And so over time, I learned more about different pagan religions and the history of magic and witchcraft. And I just kind of ended up like separating the two. And now I'm like, I'm a pagan and I'm a witch. And they're like separate for me, but that's fine, I think. So yeah, I do consider myself a witch as well. I don't know if which title is like more prominent for me. I think they both just kind of sit equally side by side, if that makes sense.
Yeah, or they could be fluid. They can change, can't they?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
I'm a bit like that. Sometimes I'm like, I'm totally a green witch, and other times I'm like, nope, I'm totally a Wiccan.
Yeah.
And then like, no, I'm just a pagan. It's just I'm just recycling. It'll be fine. Yeah, no, yeah. There's more to it than that, and it just kind of like switches around for me, and that's all right. Do you know what I mean? We don't.
Yeah, exactly.
We don't follow any strict rules. We're good.
Yeah, exactly. And like, it's a journey at the end of the day, and it's your life, and it needs to be personal to you. So I think that's what's important.
Do you prefer the sun or the moon?
Oh, I'm a moon fan.
I knew you were going to say that. I knew it.
I am. I love the moon so much. That's one of the main things why I ended up starting to look into paganism, because I'm a massive moon fan. I'm just one of those people that loves everything. Like, you can find me researching about the Greeks and then 1 minute researching about a random country in Europe. Like, I love learning stuff, so I love the moon. And I just started looking up information about deities that worship the moon, like things that were associated with the moon. And that was when I kind of stumbled across paganism and how they have different, like, I was like, oh my god, you're right, actually there is goddesses, isn't there? It was kind of that moment of realizing that there was more out there in the world, and it was thanks to the moon really that's took me that way.
Everybody loves the moon.
I love it. Yeah, I like the sun too, but
oh, I love the sun. I'm such a solar witch. Who doesn't feel good in sunshine?
Yeah, I agree. I hate being cold.
Autumn's on its way, so we're gonna have to get used to that.
No, I know.
It's coming. It's like such a witch thing, like, oh look, autumn's coming, and Samhain and Halloween.
Yeah, yeah.
And this it's like, true. I'm cold though.
Yeah, no, this is true. I think I was born in December, so it's always cold. And whenever I wanted to celebrate anything, it was like, everything's closed for the winter season. I'm like, oh, can't do anything for my birthday. I hate being cold. I love the sun for its warmth, but the moon is definitely the thing for me.
But Pagans of the North, do you have any future plans you can share with us, our dreams for where it's going to go in the future?
I have quite a few plans. You've joined the chat now, so you see me just throughout the day randomly post, like, message things like, oh, what about this idea, or oh, what about this, or oh, what about this, and I'm like, I need to calm down because
it is a busy group brain dump.
Yeah, literally, because I'm constantly thinking of new things for this year, because it's near the end of the year now. We're focusing on having a physical issue of the magazine.
Yay! I'm excited about this.
Obviously, we've been an online magazine for quite a while now, almost about 3 years. And I just thought what would be really nice is to make an annual issue that contained articles from all the issues of the year, as well as new ones, of course, and put them together as an annual so people can look back at all of our, like, most popular articles throughout the year of 2023. And I'm kind of excited, actually. I'm very excited for it to happen and have a physical copy as well. It's never been in physical form before, so.
And that's due at the end of the year, is it?
Yeah, so this is a bit of breaking news, actually, because I've not actually... I know. I've never really said... I've put a little, like, Easter egg on the website. If you, like, subscribe to the website, you get free... Like, you get early access to the issues on the subscribers page. There's a little coming soon physical copy, so if anyone saw it, it's like a little Easter egg, like a little, oh, look at this. So
just sneaking it in there. Yeah. Past you, see the eagle eyes.
Yeah, so I haven't officially announced it, but I guess this is a little breaking news.
Wow, this is like an exclusive.
It is. It's gonna be in December, so that'll be when we'll have them out, but we're gonna do pre-orders. I'll put out more information after our Samhain issue. So it's going to be quite exciting.
And you're looking for people to apply to that one?
We are always open for submissions. I need to, like, figure out the little intricate parts of it, but because obviously we offer free advertising for businesses and creators and things like that. Anyways, so we'll be figuring out how to move forward with our suppliers list for our physical copy as well.
Early stages.
It is. I know. It's almost an idea right now, but I'm very excited.
I'll have to try and get some of my poetry in that one.
Yes, definitely.
It'd be nice to have something printed, because as a poet, that's all you're ever after, really, is physical copies that you didn't print off at home. Yeah. And stick together with glue and all that is awesome. Yeah. Oh, I'm excited to be part of it. And thank you for having me. I mean, it's a really cool, big deal to me, you know, because of my dyslexia and stuff. So I'm always a bit nervous about writing. And I used to write blogs years ago when I was breastfeeding my firstborn. It was called To Make the Breast of It.
Oh, wow.
and I'd just write like a diary, and, you know, I'd have only a few followers, but the followers were absolutely mad for it. They were always like, when are you writing the next one? When are you writing the next one? I was like, wow, calm down. That's going to be the end of the year. Do you plan them out in advance, or do they just kind of like organically grow?
The issues.
Yeah.
They kind of organically grow. So we are obviously have a team of the core team, which you're part of, and we have core articles. So they are the articles that are in every issue. So we have Trader of the Month and Witch's Corner and Book Review, and we're going to have Witching with Kids as our new one.
Whoop, whoop, whoop.
Also, we've just introduced Ancient Cities, Ancient Stories. I'm hoping that will be in every issue as a core article as well. So because we have core articles, they kind of have to be done. Yeah. They have to be completed. And then whatever happens after that, any extra articles, any submissions, that's kind of more organically done. And it's really nice because sometimes we have an issue that has one or two articles plus our core articles, and then we'll have another issue that's like had so many submissions and it's just like 40 pages long, and it's just really nice. So they're all so very different to each other, which I love.
Do you have a day job?
This is kind of my day job right now. I'm on a bit of a break. I do social media for an American football club.
Oh, so, wow.
Yeah, they're called the Shield Maidens, actually. So
oh my god,
funny.
I didn't expect that.
Yeah, and I've just became the chair of their committee as well, which is interesting. So that's new for me. I've been with the Shield Maidens for about a year now, almost a year. So it's quite funny because on the other side of my life is the American football team called the Shield Maidens, which is obviously kind of a nod at Norse paganism, Norse mythology and stuff. So it's quite an interesting mix. So
it's like uncannily linked, isn't it?
Yeah. Like... And then, so they have like runes on their uniform and stuff. And recently I've had the opportunity to like create new runes for them. So I've been like finding the best runes to like represent who they are and find like which runes represent what. And so I've got like Euras for strength and Algas for protection. And it's quite nice to like have that kind of pagan background to be able to like influence an American football team a little bit.
Quinn, that is wicked. I am well into that. How cool is that? It always amazes me how the universe will get it there, you know, even if it's completely not related.
Exactly. It's so interesting, isn't it?
You're meant to do this job because you've got this background and you know these things.
And obviously I do design, so it just ties in nicely. So
that is well cool. Do you get up to anything else that's witchy, pagan related? Do you go anywhere or...?
Not really.
Too busy.
Yeah. So obviously pagans of the North is my main pagany thing. But then I think that because of that, and I've built it up for the past 3 years, it's got so many like opportunities for the future. Like there's so much that we can do moving forward into the new year. I've got loads of ideas for pagans of the North. I've got loads of ideas. I'm currently sitting creating courses for our website, so that's what I've been busy doing recently. I'm also writing a book.
A witchy book, is it?
It's more like a historical book. It's going to be about paganism and witchcraft from the past and the present. It's going to be called Pagans, Witches and Everything in Between, and that's something I'm still currently writing. And it's going to go through what paganism is, all the pagan religions that influenced the UK in our past, and what modern paganism and witchcraft is today. So that's what I've been writing about.
God, there's loads going on. Amazing. Now, what do you do? You do have a social life, don't you?
I do. It's surprisingly, I do.
That's good. But I like how you say book. Say book.
Book.
Oh, I know you were saying book before.
Emulated how you said it. Book.
Book. I like it. Book. Just a silly. I'm drinking wine at the moment and it helps me be a good interviewee.
I should have done the same.
Yeah, get a couple of wines down your lass.
I've only got tea, but yeah.
Tea's good. We can't diss tea. Or wine is my go-to. Or a bit of mead. I like a bit of mead.
Yeah.
Surely you've got mead in the house. I mean,
I think I might have a bottle of Lindisfarne mead.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, somewhere.
Friday night. Yeah, I'm excited for you being part of the group, and I see all these little tidbits of what's going on. But because I'm relatively new, I'm quite quiet, you know, and just observing before I open my big Yorkshire gob.
No, open it. I love having opinions, like, but what about this? What do you think of this idea? What about this? Just being really nice to like go through my brain, because my brain is full of ideas. So if I ever like say anything in the chat, please pipe in. I will appreciate it.
I will.
More than happy to have your opinion.
I get a lot of imposter syndrome though as well. I mean, doing all this, it does get to you, kind of go like, what am I doing? Why have I know nothing? And it's like, you do, because you care and you're passionate.
I totally get that. I literally, not even like 2 days ago, I did exactly that. And you probably saw it, where I did some articles about Mabon and about Mapanos, the god. And I had a panic and I was like, did I write right? Is that what I've said right? Is it, am I being accurate with what I've said? And I was like having a panic that my information was incorrect, even though it wasn't incorrect.
Yeah,
and I was like in the group chat like, did I say the right thing? And then all the other members are like, yeah, no, you're fine, don't worry about it, calming is down. And I'm like, oh my god,
you're like, oh, palpitations.
I'm like am I saying wrong information here? But I'm not. But just the worry, isn't it?
It is the worry. It is. And I guess if you're releasing some out onto like the internet, it can be called upon and used, kite and quoted. And
because especially when I don't know everything, and I just try my very best to know what I can and to the best of my knowledge, but there's people out there that are much more experts on things. So for example, Mabon is about a Welsh figure, like a legend in Welsh literature and stuff. So I'm talking about this figure and legend, and I'm not a Welsh person, so I'm like obviously wanting to do my best to share correct information about something that isn't really connected to who I am. So it's always that thing where I want to do right by other communities and other cultures. For example, we don't say Beltane in the anglicized way. We spell it like the Irish spelling, because Irish paganism is sometimes regarded as a separate branch to Celtic paganism, and Irish paganism is quite big in Ireland now, and lots of Irish pagans who follow this vivid, active religious belief system, they use the word Beltane in a different, like they spell it differently. And so I changed the spelling to match that, because at the end of the day, it is an Irish holiday. So I thought I would just have a little nod in respect to their living culture that they live and breathe every day in Ireland, and try and do my best by that, if that makes sense.
Is it got an I in it? Is it?
Oh, it's like B-E... Oh, it's going to be hard for me to say it in this accent.
Oh, no. I kind of want you to know.
Well, they're all going to sound the same. I'll try. B-A-E-L-T-A-I-N-E.
There we go. No, that was good. Oh, yeah. Isn't oh, it? Wow. That's quite a complicated spelling.
B-E-A-L-T-A-I-N-E.
B-L-T. Yeah. That's what I heard.
They live an Irish experience, and that's their at like living religious belief system. I just felt like it made sense for me to use that word too, because that's their word.
Yeah, no, and it's respect, isn't it? I vibe with that completely. What would you say is your favourite Sabbat? This is a hard question as well. Mine always changed.
I think it's going to be Samhain, but that's because I love Halloween.
Same, yeah.
So I love autumn. Autumn is my favourite season. Halloween is my favourite holiday. So yeah, probably Samhain, because it's everything that I love anyways.
I think mine alternates between Samhain and Beltane, and which is quite funny because they're opposite each other, aren't they?
Yeah, that's true, yeah.
In the wheel. But I think because I'm such a sun witch, I really love the summer, and when autumn comes, I'm like, yay, it's pretty. Do you know what I mean? It's orange and there's pumpkins. Yeah. But I just love the warmth of the rays. And I know they're disappearing, and then you get to proper winter, and it's just like, and it goes on for years, doesn't it, our winter?
True. Oh my goodness. Like January is like 7 weeks long. Like, I'm always like, oh, I'll celebrate autumn on the autumn equinox, and that's when I'll recognize that it's autumn. And this year, because I feel like we haven't had much of a summer. It's been very grey, it's been very rainy, it's been very glum, and I feel like we haven't had enough hot days. So I mean, for me anyways, in Newcastle area, so on the 1st of September, I was like, oh my god, I'm just gonna say it, it's autumn. I'm saying it now. It's, and I've decorated the house, and I've got my pumpkin dishes out and orange cushions, and like, you know, I've made it all autumny. And then 2 days later, it was like the hottest day of the year.
I know.
There's summer. Like, it was summer. Like, the universe was like,
God damn it.
No, Quinn. It's summer still.
We had that hot June, but then of course the kids went back, and that last week we had in September with the heat wave, and we were all like, fuck's sake, our kids have gone back and I'm boiling at home, you know, like typical, so typical of this country. And it gets us every time. We never learn.
It really does.
We never learn. How British are we talking about? The weather?
Right. Yeah, very British.
It's typical, got a good...
It? Always goes back to the weather.
Always goes that way. I was going to ask you as well about, do you know, there was this thing where this group were going to come from America Stonehenge. Now, I was very impressed how all the pagan associations came together really quick and signed lots of signatures to stop it happening. But I don't really know too much about it. I don't suppose you could fill me in, could you?
Yeah, of course. The Asatru Folk Assembly are a group in America, in the US, who are followers of heathenry, or like Norse paganism, but they believe that Norse paganism should be for white people only. Yes. And obviously Norse paganism, heathenry and all that was predominantly practiced in parts of Scandinavia thousands of years ago. And I think people forget that the Norse were very good at trading and wandering the world. The Vikings were literally seafarers. Like, they went places, they went around the world and traded around the world, and I'm sure they weren't all white. I'm sure that Asatru Folk Assembly believe that it is white and that it should be the ethnic religion of white people. And
well, all of the bollocks.
I know, exactly. And sadly, it has a link to Nazi Germany. They kind of felt the same way. And Nazi Germany used to appropriate runes as well, as we know. So it has links to that.
Yeah,
so
I mean, Hitler were all into it, weren't they? Recently,
yeah, exactly. So even though the World War II and Nazi Germany and stuff wasn't a religious thing, even though they did persecute and kill lots of Jewish people, it wasn't necessarily religious. It was more about this pure race, and a lot of it was white people. There's Azertu Folk Assembly in the US, although they won't obviously outright say that they support Nazism, but they are very open on their website. If you go on their website, they're very open to say that they believe that Norse paganism is the religion of white people and it should be preserved for white people and stuff like that. So when they announced on Twitter that they were going to, or X as it's called now, that they were going to come to Stonehenge and do an event at Stonehenge or something, obviously paganism in Britain is a very different vein of paganism to the US. Like it went to the US and it just kind of like went a whole different direction. Like the branches of paganism in the US are massive and different and varying. And British paganism is so much more contained because we're such a small island. But a lot of the big organizations such as Asatru UK and Pagan Federation and all those kind of organizations and associations, they all fight for equality and they're all very anti-racist and anti-homophobic and all those things. So when Asatru Folk Assembly said, oh, we're gonna come to the UK and we're gonna come to Stonehenge, and everyone was like
oh, fuck you are.
Yeah, but you're racist and we don't agree with that here. Like, obviously they weren't gonna come to Stonehenge and be like, start shouting from the rooftops of their belief in that it should only be for white people. But it's more of the point and principle that we should never promote racism, obviously, and the organizations that do promote racism, we need to stand against that, because a massive problem in the US especially is people believing that Norse paganism is racist and putting those two together because of groups like the Asatru Folk Assembly. So there's lots of people who don't know anything about paganism thinking that we believe in racism because of that. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So there's lots of appropriation by racists using paganism as a way to like shoehorn their racism into things, which is really sad. Obviously the principle of it is that everyone has a freedom of speech, but no one has freedom of consequence, and there should always be a point where we go, hang on, you can believe all those things in the US, you shouldn't really, but if you are, don't come to our sacred sites when you have those beliefs, if that makes sense. Obviously there was lots of rumours that go around, obviously, as there is, that they didn't get permission from English Heritage anyway, so that it was like an unapproved event. Like, there was lots of rumours about stuff like that anyways. So they aren't coming anymore.
Thank God, yeah.
The president of Pagan Federation put out a video explaining the situation. If you want to go on their Facebook and say that, you can. They're not coming anymore, so that's
good. I was well impressed, because it was really quick, wasn't it? I remember everybody grouping together and
Pagans
of the North was added to the list, so they were all Witchfest and all the big ones that we know. And some I'd not even heard of as well. Even if they didn't get permission straight away, you know, at least we did our bit and it was the right thing to do. And it was nice to see everybody agree and come together. It made my witchy heart so warm inside.
No, at the end of the day, racism is obviously frowned upon. But if you don't say anything against racism, it's allowed to spread and evolve, and that shouldn't be allowed.
Yeah.
Especially in paganism, when people think that paganism is already a religion that people don't fully understand anyways. So when there's pagan organizations that believe in racism that agree that are racist, lots of people who don't really understand paganism will connect the two and think we're all like that when we aren't.
Lots of misinformation out there, isn't there? Oh yes, well thank you for that. Is there anything else you want to plug or mention or ask me?
No, not really. I've ended up saying more than I thought I would say, to be honest. I've never really promoted any of the things I've said, so this is an exclusive, really.
Oh, I love an exclusive, me.
But I'm hoping that in 2024, we're going to be at events and have stalls at marketplaces and things like that. So that is our future goals. And we are always open for writers to join the team. And you're always welcome to submit one-off articles as well. And all our information is on our website.
And what's your website?
It is www.pagansofthenorth.com. pagansofthenorth.co.uk.
And you're on the old Insta and all that. Is that the same? Pagans of the North.
And Facebook.
Facebook.
And we do have a Twitter/X, but we don't really use it. It's just there. And we have a Threads, but we don't really use it because I don't know why.
That's not taken off yet. It'll take its sweet time.
Yes. But we're on there too, but mostly Facebook and Instagram.
Facebook. It's because I'm right Yorkshire. I'm just like, I love it. Sorry. No,
I don't realise how Geordie I am until I do things.
I'm usually the most northern person in the room, so it's nice to have somebody a bit more northern than I.
The team is so northeastern, to be honest. Like, we used to have somebody from Manchester, but they left not that long ago. But most of the team are from Newcastle, Yorkshire, Leeds and Durham. So, like, we're all concentrated on one side of the island. We're all on one side. It would be nice to kind of reach out to people from the northwest, and because we are definitely more connected to people on the northeast side, more businesses on the northeast side. We have some people from like Sheffield and Leeds and Knaresborough and like all that kind of stuff, but not enough people on the northwestern side, so Liverpool and Manchester and Cumbria. Like, we want to connect with you. We want to connect with you people and like build connections.
If you're listening and you're from all that on yonder. And what about down south? If you're from down south, you can still apply, you know. It's just, if you're from down south, you can read it as well.
Exactly. It's open for anyone to read. Like, I know we're pagans of the north, but it's just because we highlight people from the north. You can read it anywhere in the world. And we do sometimes get like random people from like the USA and like Australia. And I'm like, what? How have you found us?
That's awesome.
How did you find who we are?
International magazine.
Yeah. Yeah, I know, right? Yeah.
That's well cool. Who is your favourite fictional witch?
Ooh, what a question. I don't know.
There's a lot of good ones.
Fictional witch. Megan is think now. You know, like, when your mind goes blank.
Yeah, like, there's a lot of good ones in Disney.
Oh, that's true.
I mean, I quite like Maleficent.
I'm a Disney villains fan, to be honest.
Same, yeah.
And I was like, oh, what's your favourite Disney character? And I'm like, it's Cruella de Vil.
She kills the puppies. I don't get that far, does she? But...
No, yeah, exactly. Do you know what I mean? That's my favourite Disney character. But
I bet she's a witch, but we just don't know.
I'm going to say yes. I think she is down. She could totally do some witchy magic stuff if she wanted to. I think I have no idea on that answer, actually.
On the spot.
I know, I'm going to be brutally honest. Oh, I don't know. I really liked Halloween Town when I was younger. So I know it's very niche, but the Disney movie Halloween Town was one of my favourite films. And it was like, I can't even remember her name now, but she was like a little teen witch and discovering that she was a witch and she got to go to Halloween Town where her grandma lived. And I just love that kind of thing, you know.
Oh my God, so, I've never seen that.
Have you not?
No.
Oh my God, it's so good. It's brilliant. There was Halloween Town, Halloween Town 2 and Halloween Town High.
It's not like where Jack Skeleton's from, is it?
No, it's not. No,
that's a different Halloween Town. Who knew there was more than one?
Exactly. It's like parallel universes. That's what it is. Okay. But it was so cool because there was like a giant pumpkin in the middle of the town square.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, exactly. So it was like this big jack-o'-lantern in the middle of the town square. And there was like skeletons that were like there was lots of different like Halloween-y characters that lived in the town.
It sounds like Lightwater Valley. Over the south term. When I went, there were that in the centre, and there were like witches from Hocus Pocus just moseying around scaring the children and saying, oh, I want that job.
I do like Hocus Pocus, though, to be fair.
It's having a moment.
I know, that is true. Yeah.
I quite like Sarah.
Yeah, me too. Like, because obviously when it came out, I was a little bit younger. So it was always like, she was like more carefree and like a bit dipsy, but like in a good way. And like, because she was the younger one anyways, it was more relatable. But then now that I've grown up, I feel like I'm a bit more like Winnie. So
yeah.
I feel like that's more like who I am, a bit more grumpy. Like, what are you doing?
I like it, which is like, run amok, 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 because she just like gets twatted for it. Like, shut up.
Yeah.
Like, ow.
Please be quiet.
The mother and the maiden and the crow, didn't they? I read recently, because the age difference represents that.
Oh, that's a really interesting one.
Sarah's the maiden.
The crone and
Mary's the mother, and obviously Winifred is the crone. That and I was like, oh yeah. I've been eyeing up this Lego. Have you seen that Hocus Pocus Lego?
No.
Oh my God, it's got like the house and Binks and the book with the eye, and then it's got a little tray that the book goes in, you know, with a glass over the top, and the candle. It's got the candle. And I really want it. It's £200, mind. Too much. Fill my house up with like Lego witches. Yes. All around. Yes. Lego witches, lol. I can dream. Thank you very much to Quinn for joining us on the Bellwitch podcast. She was an excellent interviewee, and I thought I was quite a good interviewer, if I do say so myself. Thank you very much, as always, for tuning in and being here with me on this creative adventure in the witchy world of Swales. As always, if you're enjoying what I'm doing here, please leave feedback, leave stars, tell your friends, spread the word so I can clock up them numbers and them listeners. I'm slowly getting a bit more popular as I go on, and it's just really nice to hear people's feedback and reviews. This podcast has been produced and made by me, Swales, a friend of Green Witch. Music by Jeff Harvey, made on WavePad Master and shared via Zencaster distributors. Stay magical, witches.